YouTuber Jeff Nebert has announced the sudden passing of his fiance, Stephanie. She was 36 years old. That's crazy. Jesus. An important update from Jeff Nippard, or from the Jeff Nippard team. It is with profound sorrow that we share the sudden passing of Jeff's fiancée and partner of 10 years, Stephanie. As many of you know, Stephanie met the world to Jeff. She will be remembered for her warmth and compassion, her love for her family, and her PhD research on ovarian cancer. We kindly ask for privacy as we navigate this tragic loss. Thank you for your understanding and support during this difficult time. What kind of stuff did that Nippard dude do? He's like a lifter on YouTube, one of the few that didn't become super political. And I think he tries to generally be pretty science-based with all the shit that he does. So like if he's got some new fucking lift or way to train or whatever, there's like two or three studies that he's like sourcing and he's literate and everything. Maybe one of the best. I don't even know who's left because so many lifter bros either sold out and just started shilling fucking supplements or became like crazy fucking MAGA people or are just fucking retarded or whatever. But I think Nippard is considered probably one of the best. He's actually political. He's an actual lib. He gets political, or he posts political stuff on Twitter sometimes. Oh, well, that's good. Oh, no, that's true, actually. I think I feel like I have seen him do that before. That's true. Maybe even with regards to, I think, vaccine stuff. Mike Israetel. I think Mike is also decently well-regarded. I feel like Jeff Nippard is going to give you, like, this is, if you've done a lot of research, this is, like, your standard take on everything, and it's almost certainly going to be correct, and you're probably never going to be wrong with the stuff that Nippard says. I feel like Mike will sometimes take, sometimes not as popular positions, as slightly more controversial, or not as well fleshed out or researched stuff sometimes. But like generally speaking, like this is like you're like hardcore nibbling around the edges to criticize Mike when he's talking about, I think, diet and exercise. I think most people consider the Dr. Mike guy, but the Mike Israetel guy, generally like 95% is like pretty good. But sometimes I think he'll have, I don't remember, it's been so long since I was watching these guys. Sometimes he'll have a little bit more controversial positions or takes on things or whatever. Dr. Mike is just a retard now. Mike Israetel, the lifter dude, is when it comes to fitness and stuff, or you mean like outside of business for political stuff? That's a whole other thing to talk about. Damn, this guy pushes a lot of videos a day. Airport gyms.
$1 billion doesn't just grow on trees, and like, is spending it on healthier airports of all places a good idea? But I can't figure out, I was like, lifting at the airport and getting sweaty and then like sitting down for a connection, huh? Did someone think that through? Lots of folks wanted healthier food and gyms. Many airports would have already built them with no need for the government to offer incentives. Remember that
he's kind of a super libertarian sometimes as well, but did RFK talk about this? Who the fuck would lift? It's not even about having the clothes and the whatever, but just imagine like the mental, like you're on a connection and you're traveling and you've got your fucking bags with, you know, like, oh my God.
People who run the airport have absolutely no conspiracy to sell you fast food. They don't care. And is that worth $1 billion of spending to make a not detectable dent in public health? Here comes administration is putting $1 billion in federal grant money toward making airports more family friendly and health oriented.
I mean, these could be good things. It just depends on what that means.
Airports can apply for funding to build things like kids play areas, nursing slash mother's rooms, which is kind of a trip, family security lanes.
Mike tends to give great advice. It's just that it tends to be the same thing. Lift relatively heavy, deep eccentrics, etc. But he gets shit since he goes very hard on the bro science lifters. Sure. But I mean, like, when you're in, like, the square of, like, good fitness YouTuber people, there's not much, like, new shit to be researched. Like, they've discovered the magical, like, they've discovered the new magical rep range to grow your pecs like never before. It's not one rep max. It's not 5 to 8. It's not 10 to fucking 15 or whatever. It's 9.5 reps, okay, at RPE 7.25, and this is the secret. This is the key.
And sensory.
Like, most of it's going to be repeating the same shit, right?
Now, there's also a push, because you're thinking, okay, what does that have to do with health, really, and fitness, really?
He emphasizes a theory about the deep stretch that has been disproven for the last 2 years, and he won't change his mind about it. What is the deep stretch? Was that the idea that most of the hypertrophy or whatever comes when you're at, like, the, I don't know if it's eccentric or concentric, I don't know, but like the idea that, like, all of the muscle growth comes from when you're stretching at, like, the bottom or most extreme version or whatever of a lift? Does he actually believe that? Was that ever a thing that was, like, heavily researched? Like, I know, like, full range of motion stuff for joint health and muscle development, everything is fine, but pausing at the bottom of the eccentric, a theory that stretch-mediated hypertrophy is better for every muscle group.
Oh, okay. There's also a push for healthier food options and even small exercise or movement spaces inside terminals. I don't know what movement spaces means, because the terminal is maybe the largest indoor movement space ever invented, and just walking around from one end to the other of the terminal will get you all the steps you ever need. I do that all the time at airports. But exercise spaces sounds curious. It sounds like maybe some lifting weights will happen at America's airports. Now, from a legal technical perspective, this is mostly incentives, not mandates. Airports aren't being forced. They're being encouraged with money. Here's some money. Build some stuff. And the branding here seems to lean in pretty heavily to family values and health culture messaging, not just infrastructure upgrades for the purpose of betterment. In the short term, we can probably expect some visible PR-friendly changes at some airports and news reports of a new gym built at XYZ airport. But in the medium term, we are likely to see uneven adoption because some airports will probably embrace it a ton, other airports meh, and some airports maybe possibly not at all or very little, doing maybe the bare minimum if required. Healthier food options may improve slightly, in my view, but concessions contracts and the real hard law of supply and demand make...
He was also advising the lengthened partial stuff, which seemed to check out if I recall. It's the idea that you can do partial reps, the lengthened position of the muscle, instead of doing the whole rep. That sounds like some, that's some advanced autism shit.
Total food overhaul at airports unlikely, so just wouldn't expect it to all be healthy food in just a few months or a few years. The bigger goal with this policy seems to be to try to shift social norms so that airports can be more pleasant, healthier environments, and we can learn to expect that sort of thing at airports. Now, whether that actually meaningfully changes the average airport experience for the average person is an open question. Being that that is the news, let me talk about some upsides and some downsides to this policy, see if we can make sense of it in an exercise science sort of way. First of all,
I don't have any evidence for this. Did we watch a video on this? My vibe, my feel is that if you wanted to immediately do the easiest thing from a government office to make the majority of Americans make better choices on food, we should have the little labels like they have in Europe on the backs of foods, where it's like, they put like the sugar and it's like red, yellow, or green, and they might do it with other macros as well, but they should just like, I think that just having labeling like that, so you can like pick up a thing and it's like, is this good or bad? Because most Americans don't really have a concept of like, you know, this thing says it has 8 grams of protein. Well, that's a lot of protein. How many calories is it? 500 calories. Okay, well, 500 calories is, I don't know, I guess that's maybe okay, but like 8 grams of protein, I guess that's good. Like, people just have no concept of like what a thing should be or what the balance should be. I feel like having the dump stickers, I say the dump stickers, but like, at least I know I think in the UK they have this. I feel like in Sweden they have this, where you can just like pick up a thing and everything is in like, I think they even have like macros per 100 fucking kilocalorie or whatever food. So it's like very easy and quick to compare from food to food as well. So you don't have to look at the serving size and then do the conversion and then figure out. But I don't know, there's like a paper that says that maybe that shit doesn't do anything anyway, so. Wouldn't making healthy food cheaper be easier? Probably not, but maybe possibly, but probably not.
Well, on vibes, I think this is great. Healthier food options and exercise options at airports, amazing. In reality, many people numerically will benefit from this. Shit, many of us watching this video would love to get a 30-minute workout between connections or grab actual good macros-friendly food. Scott, wouldn't that be dope? Macro-friendly food?
Lovely.
That'd be airport amazing.
It's mandated to have per 100 grams or 100 milliliters. Yeah, that sounds right. Oh, yeah. Not per calorie, but per gram, yeah, sure.
And some folks that would otherwise be less active or eating more poorly will surely get into the fitness and health fun. I think maybe the best part about this is the kids' play areas, to be completely honest. Genius. It's just a great idea overall. It can reduce kid and adult stress like crazy because the kids get their energy out. It allows kids to be more active, which is super healthy physically and psychologically and socially for children. And they get all that pre-flight energy out so that when the flight comes up, they either chill and do this when they're plugged into the TV. Scott, my nieces and nephews just do that when you put on any kind of cinematic movie.
Skibbity toilet.
That's all they want to watch. I don't know what that is, but it's probably brain.
I feel like I read something at one point that at the very least, when they put this stuff on child food, it would like have like a pretty significant impact on parents picking things up or putting things down. But I could be wrong. I don't know if I made this up or not. It's very, very easy, though, at a glance to pick up something just in the European countries. I mean, to pick it up and look at the back and you can tell if it's like, sometimes it's even like, yeah, like this is for friends. It's like color coded. It would be nice to have that guide, I think. 30-second Euro meme on the labels.
Ik ben klaar met mijn boodschappen.
Boodschappen? Je hebt alleen maar snacks gehaald.
Snacks? Heb je ooit gehoord van een Nutri-score? Kijk dit. Mijn chocola, B. Pizza, A. Mega gezond. Chips, een dikke vette B. Wat heb jij daarentegen?
Ik heb gewoon gezond eten gehaald.
Gezond?
Uh-oh.
C?
True.
Kaas van een D.
True.
Welke koe heeft het
gemaakt? Not good.
Wat is dit? Een groentetaart van een D? Schaam je. Let een beetje op je lichaam. Ik ben klaar met mijn boodschappen.
Do AmeriFats not have macros per 100 grams or ounce or something? No. Our nutrition labels don't tell us much at all. It'll just be like, it'll just list like the actual amounts. It'll say percentage of daily like value, which I don't think anybody knows or gives a fuck about or anything. And yeah, it's just, it's our labels suck. Like if I were to look at American Coke can label, like this is basically what it looks like. This is what you get on American labels. Okay. Well, they don't even show us anything, I guess. Fuck me. And it's like, I don't know. Like an American has no clue. Like, what do you do with this information, you know? Like, how do I compare this to anything else or what? I guess there aren't vitamins in it. And then it's, like, I know a little bit more about nutrition stuff, but for an average American, you just look at this and it's like, I don't know, is it a lot? Is it a little? Who the fuck knows? There's just not much, you know, yeah, there's just whatever. No, okay. Like, the thing that sucks is, like, RFK could have pushed for a better labeling system on our stuff, and it actually would have been, like, I think meaningfully better, but there's, it's all fucking retarded shit. Destiny, it's per serving, but the US shit is pretty fine, and actually per serving can make sense. It's just sometimes it doesn't work well. I don't agree with that. I think having per 100 grams or whatever, it makes more sense because it's easier to compare one food to the next. Also, American companies will play games sometimes because you'll get like, I swear to God, this will say on the back of it. Fuck, hold on. Like one bar will be, oh, this is serving size one bar. Sometimes they'll have like king size candy bars and it'll be like, the thing is 2.5 servings. So you're looking at this, it's like, okay. So I need to multiply everything on the back by 2.5. Oh, like, so here, like serving size, 1/2 bar. 36 servings per container. Oh, is this like a big thing of crunchy rice? Okay. But like, why are we doing serving sizes? It's just cringe. I just think it's stupid. All of our shit is fucked. Usually servings are standardized per type of food, no? In the US, fuck no. There's no standardized fucking anything that I'm aware of when it comes to labeling anything. It should just say if you eat it all. Yeah, like who the fuck does this? Or like, I'm pretty sure if you look at the labeling on Gatorade nutrition label, like who the fuck is drinking? Well, these are listed in one bottle. That's good. I've seen Gatorade bottles, maybe it's a size bigger, where they'll label like 1.5 or 2 or 2.5 or 2 servings per thing. And I was like, who's treating these as 2 servings? Like who's drinking half a Gatorade, putting it in the fridge? Gatorade thirst quencher. About 2.5 servings per container. Why? It's just fucking cringe. I don't know. I think it's just crazy the way that we label shit in the US. Like, I don't know how, like, a normal person who's not willing to go and read a bunch of shit about diet, how the fuck are you even having any idea what the fuck is on the back of the thing? Yeah.
Brain rot. And or they just fall asleep versus if your kids have tons of energy because they didn't do any play at the airport, they're just like beating the back of the other seat or screaming at each other and no one's having any fun. Those are the upsides.
And cheese in the...
Look at this.
Highest priority row, I don't think, is a super sharp idea. You're going to be eating more of whatever foods you add them to. It affects major federal nutrition programs like school lunches and other government programs.
The
government's newest visual food guide, and it's literally called the New Pyramid, and it's tied to the dietary guide.
Oh, new food pyramid. Did we get a new food pyramid? A new RFK approved food pyramid, and I missed it? Is there any evidence for efficacy of that shit? European countries marginally lag USA and obesity rates. Well, this is relatively new, I think, for Europe, right? Like in the past decade? I don't know. You'd have to see. That's why I said, I don't know if there's like a paper on it or anybody's done a study on how it impacts food choice.
Plans for Americans document 2025 through 2030. So the document is called Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2025-2030. I'm sure you've already read it. Scott, you've seen that copy I sent you, yes?
Of course.
Of course, we all read our homework. That document and the pyramid dropped on January 7th, 2026, mere very short time ago. It was released jointly by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health and Human Services, same tag team that puts out the dietary guidelines on a regular cycle. You might remember other pyramids from your childhood. The rollout was led by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a well-known TRT user, and...
FDA has a lot of guidelines for a lot of what you can choose as a serving size using RACC, amounts usually consumed. It's just there's foods that are exempt and foods where the RACC guidelines don't work well. Here you go. Ready? If it's in a small wrapping package, that's the serving size. Nobody is fucking buying a candy bar and eating half of it and then putting the other half in the shelf or in your cabinet to eat later. That's just not, this is just fucking retarded, okay?
USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins, who I've never heard of, but seems like they have a cool name. The big headline message is eat real food. And the translation here is eat fewer food-ish products that have 37 ingredients and a smiley face on the cover and eat stuff that looks like it's like actually made of food. And this isn't just a cute graphic the government put out. It affects major federal nutrition programs like school lunches and other government feeding programs. This is a big deal.
In the fitness industry, these steroid accusations fly around everywhere until I don't know what to believe at destiny. Okay, when it came to steroids, or sometimes people say you're juicing, or sometimes people will say you're on gear, there are a couple of, or a few, the trend balone and of whatever the fuck they're, these common, whatever the fuck they are. They're, what's the meme? Eat, clean, train hard, and there's a third thing. It used to be that like if you wanted to get involved in stuff like that, you had to do research, you had to order, sometimes if you're in the US, you have to order illegal shit, and it's like a hardcore, like 20 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, like roiding was like a you have to do a lot of shit to be not natty, okay? Natty as a natural, and the only, you're, natural as in you're not taking exogenous hormones from outside your body to augment yourself. However, I think with the advent of and the availability of TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, basically now, if you are an adult human male and you walk into any clinic in the United States, basically no matter what, you will be able to get a prescription for testosterone, which is essentially like a legal version of getting on gear for weightlifting, because I don't know if I would say most, but like you can go to a male health clinic and you can get what's going to be 100% pure and good, whatever they're using for TRT. It's literally by fucking physicians from pharmacies and everything else. You get injected. And a lot of people can use this recreationally, I'll say. If you're going to a clinic and they tell you that your number is low and you are asymptomatic of having low testosterone, then you are just you're on gear. You're just juicing. You're on roids. That's all that, in my opinion, that's all it is. But the thing is, if you're on a low dose of TRT, and by low, I mean, you're not trying to put your testosterone in like the fucking 5,000s or whatever the fuck, right? You're just on a low dose of TRT. It's relatively safe, and it's like free muscle gains. It's free leanness. It's just, in a way, it's kind of, it just helps every part of your body. All this to say that like 10 to 15 years ago, getting on gear is like pretty difficult. These days, I'm pretty sure it's just accepted that almost every single person that is like in the fitness world or doing Instagram shit, almost all of them will be on some version of TRT, and they'll either lie about it or they'll mention TRT occasionally, but they don't believe it's the same thing as on being on steroids or whatever the fuck else. But yeah, so I think these days I feel like it's pretty normal. I think most people just kind of accepted that almost everybody is on some kind of TRT because it's like a free, it's just, it's free muscle and it's free leanness. So once you start, you can't stop though, right? I mean, you're probably okay. Like assuming that you're on low dose, this isn't medical advice, but assuming you're on like a, when I say a low dose of TRT, it's going to improve your leanness and improve your muscle building, but it's not going to like make your balls fall off. I don't believe that like what you would get prescribed, my understanding is what you get prescribed at a male health clinic, maybe if you're on it for like 10 or 20 years, but it's not going to be a thing that's like in 1 year, your balls fall off. Like you're on some hardcore fucking roid cycle or whatever.
Now, what's the pyramid recommending? In the top tier, and it really is kind of an upside down pyramid if you think about it, in the top
Is it really that easy to get a prescription for a test? From my personal experience, it is. I think I've walked into one before and they were ready to fucking juice me up right the fuck there. I had no, just because my numbers are very, very, very low on the reference range, but I have no symptoms of low testosterone whatsoever, but they were ready to fucking juice me up. And he was speaking numbers. The guy was like, I can put you in like the 800s, 900s. This was like 10 years ago. I'm like, you're going to triple my testosterone when I have absolutely zero symptoms of being low T? And then I think when I did my hair thing, when I had my alopecia outbreak on my face, I think they mentioned offering it as well as like another service. I guess I didn't technically ask them, but from what I've heard, it's easier to get on testosterone as a male if you go into a male health clinic than it is to get fucking ADHD meds from like a telehealth thing. It's a very, very, very easy thing to do from everything I've heard. And then from the little bit of personal experience I have of people, yeah.
Federal nutrition programs like school lunches and other government feeding programs. This is a big deal. Now, what's the pyramid recommending? In the top tier, and it really is kind of an upside down pyramid if you think about it, in the top tier, the pyramid recommends protein, dairy, and healthy fats. They want you prioritizing protein basically every meal. They even give a target around 0.54 to 0.73 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day. Scott, that's real far. They even give a target around 0.54 to 0.73.
That feels really high if you're not like actively lifting, but okay.
0.73 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day. Scott, that's real far away from a
gram and a half. Isn't that right, brother?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man. Gram to the face.
But higher than normal, which is interesting. The I'm just trying to hit my protein era is now federally approved, which is nice. The next tier has a vegetables and fruits, like 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit per day, whole, colorful, mineral processing, all really good. I do have a bone to pick here. I haven't gotten to the criticism part of the talk. This is just a minor note. Scott, what's a serving?
Oh, that's a great question.
Uh-oh.
There is no answer to the question that a human being can understand. Servings are stupid and pointless. But in any case, you can get at least a relative understanding that, look, protein sources.
Yeah, I feel like it should just be per 100 grams or whatever, like in all of Europe and probably the rest of the world. But 0.5 is not high at all. Every single person typing in that this is not a high amount of protein is a fucking a loser, incel, retard on the internet. If you would ask a normal American person who weighs, the average American is what, 220 fucking pounds or whatever, hey, you need to get 0.7 grams of protein. You need to get from your diet 150 grams of protein a day. You're retarded. You're so fucking delusional if you think the average American it can easily hit that goal. That's like a supplement level. Like I'm on protein, like, oh, 150. Yeah, let me eat fucking 2 chicken breasts every single day with my T-bone steak fucking dinner and my fucking 2 cups of 2% milk in the morning with my 3 eggs. Like, bro, that 150 grams of protein a day is an ungodly amount of, for an average American that's not like prioritizing their fucking lifting macros, that's a ton of protein. You're crazy.
Super important. Healthy fat sources are super important.
Sorry, I love you.
And then veggies and fruits after. Okay, cool. Next level is whole grains. They're in, but smaller, 2 to 4 servings per day. And they're very whole grains. Yes, refined carbs.
There's also probably something to be said as well for the fact that I think that most protein consumption that Americans engage in is probably not the best. We tend to eat fattier meats instead of leaner stuff. So we gravitate towards like ground beef, 80-20 ground beef, or fattier, or like really buttered up steak or hamburgers and cheeseburgers and stuff, ground beef, as opposed to like leaner meats or turkey or like we'll eat pork, whatever. Like the types of protein that we eat is usually served with a bunch of other not great stuff. And it's kind of, yeah, it's not, it's just not generally the conventional wisdom is that Americans probably could probably do with a little bit less protein on their diet. But when Americans think protein, I think usually the sources are from not the healthiest, like holistic foods or whatever.
Sources are super important. Healthy fat sources are super important. And then veggies and fruits after. Okay, cool. Next level is whole grains. They're in, but smaller, 2 to 4 servings per day. And they're very whole grains, yes. Refined carbs, no. They explicitly say to avoid highly processed foods, especially the salty/sweet packaged stuff and ready-to-eat snack ambushes. I think this is great news. Sorry, I'll appraise this later after telling you guys what is actually going on. Added sugar gets specifically roasted. It's basically not recommended with guidance to avoid added sugar entirely for kids aged 4 and under. For drinks, water and unsweetened beverages get the gold star, and alcohol gets a limit it because hydration shouldn't mean IPA-based, and I think we already knew that to begin with. They frame this, the authors, as a flexible framework, not a strict diet. More guardrails than nutrition prison you can never leave. All right, pretty interesting. But how is this different than the last pyramid? We're going to take a little history tour here. It's got rickety buses from the 1920s and smokestack chimneys and people going everywhere but in three-piece suits. Did you ever notice that back in the old-timey days, everyone was always in a suit?
They dressed so good back then, man. It was sick. Like, Peaky Blinders style was peak style.
Can you imagine how bad people smelled?
Yeah.
Free air conditioning?
Summer, yeah.
I can't communicate with how fucking retarded you are. I'm so sorry. Chicken breast is 29 grams per 100 or grams or whatever. Wait, what? Is a protein four calories or 8? I forget. Fuck me. Is it 4? I don't even fucking remember. But you say 2 chicken breasts is 170 grams. It's extremely easy. Do you think that's 4? Do you think the average person is eating 2 whole chicken breasts per day? Do you think the average person is eating a whole chicken breast per day?
What's that called? Pipes of water going through your pre-plumbing. Anyway, how's this different than the last pyramid? So the government has been updating food guidance for like forever. Pyramids are just a new concoction. 1916 was the first year governments really started telling people what to eat, and since then they've been keeping a good job at it. In 1992, several important things happened. One is the LA gangster rap scene was at its zenith. Scott, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, I mean, holy shit. The entire soundtrack to GTA San Andreas is like the most fire shit I have ever heard in my entire life. That is the most important thing that happened in 1992. But of secondary importance, the Food Guide Pyramid, the classic horizontal layers, came out. It had a big base of grains. I used to eat Cheerios, Scott.
Do you think people do not eat entire chicken breasts? How many chicken breasts do you think are sold in a package? I'm getting one guide, right? I feel like I'm getting one guide. I wasn't referring to what the average American eats. I was responding to your hyperbole about how much someone would need to hit 150 grams of protein. It's not impossible to eat 150 grams of protein in a day. I'm just saying it's not, the average diet is nowhere near that. If I had to guess, if I had to guess, the average American probably consumes anywhere from 40 to 80 grams of protein a day. If I had to guess, and these are like fucking 3,000 fucking calorie diets. I don't know if somebody has a link to whatever that is. But.
Read the pyramid autistically.
Well, that makes sense.
Because it was on the back of the Cheerios. The autism also makes sense. Big base of grains, then fruits and veggies, then protein and dairy, very different than this pyramid, with fats/sweets to use sparingly at the very top. So this is the carbs as the foundation era. In 2005, this got a big rework into the My Pyramid. Still a pyramid, but now it's vertical color stripes, which is a little confusing, and a little stick figure in the middle climbing stairs. It also added an oils band and baked in physical activity, which was cool. They finally realized like you have to tell people to be physically active as well. In 2011, they got away from the pyramid altogether and did the My Plate. So the USDA basically said, forget the triangle, and switched to a plate icon split into food groups, veggies, fruits, lean proteins, etc., intended as a simple reminder, not detailed instructions. I loved the My Plate because you eat one plate at a time. You don't eat in a pyramid. Scott, do you ever envision your daily intake as a pyramidal abstraction?
I actually eat on a pyramid-shaped plate, and I put everything where it's supposed to be.
You're like not so hungry, so you're at the top still eating the fats and sweets. You're like, I'm never going to get to the grains at this rate. This is not happening. So it's also worth noting that the My Plate got a design refresh around 2020, but the big format jump, the big content jump was still 2011 plate to the 2026 pyramid comeback today. And so the 2026 new pyramid, the pyramid returns, but its emphasis shifts hard. Protein, dairy, and healthy fats get top billing. Veggies and fruits stay big, and grains get a smaller, more specific lane. So the old pyramid vibe is grains are your base. The new pyramid vibe is proteins plus plants are your base. Refined carbs are on very thin ice. The new pyramid is also way more direct about what to avoid, processed foods, sugary drinks, added sugars, whereas older guides often leaned on moderation and hoped your cookies would develop empathy. They didn't, by the way, and we have an obesity epidemic. All right, so let me talk about two things next. Thing number one is what...
If you switch the red meats with white meats, you would hit it easy. I think that's probably true, but I also think that there's probably something to be said for the types of meals that white meats are served with versus the types of meals that red meats are served with. Generally speaking, not necessarily speaking, but generally speaking, I think. Like how many grams of protein is in like a fucking quarter pounder or whatever? What do you, like 30 or 40 or whatever? And then what is that, like 1,000 calories? How many calories in a quarter pounder with cheese? Wait, nutrition, McDonald's, quarter pounder. Oh, these are way less calorie than I thought. I thought they had some crazy huge fucking burger. Oh, I might be thinking of double quarter pounder with cheese. So if you get this with, if we say like a medium fry and a medium drink, you think it's a 1,000-calorie meal? The fries might have like 2 grams of protein. I don't remember. But that would be like, so a meal from McDonald's with a quarter pounder with cheese is going to be like almost 1,000 calories with 30 grams of protein. Like not the best.
What is not ideal about this? Criticism first, so we end on a happy note. And then I'll talk about what is really, really good about this new pyramid. What's not ideal about it? Number one, including butter and cheese in the highest priority row, I don't think is a super sharp idea.
I don't know, unless you're Ripto, I don't know where the big jerk off about the health of fucking dairy comes from. I just don't understand the obsession. All else equal, dairy is not the worst, especially like milk, because especially a lot of it is like fortified with vitamin D and stuff. But the obsession with dairy, the obsession with it is just very fucking weird.
Why? Both butter and cheese are not healthy fats. Straight up, they're just not. They're okay in moderation, but don't do great things for your cardiovascular system in higher daily consumptions. And remember, when they're tier one, motherfuckers are going to go out there and eat all the butter and cheese they can. And when you tell them, hey, like, you've been dipping a block of cheese into a bunch of melted butter, they're going to be like, it's in the food pyramid, you dick. And they won't be wrong. Next, both butter and cheese are very high palatability. Scott, any debate on the fact that butter and cheese are real easy to eat in high amounts?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. They're very high palatability, which means you're going to be eating more of whatever foods you add them to, which ratchets up your calories and makes you, as the French say, elle fat. Both butter and cheese, to make things worse, aren't just very high palatability. They're very high in calories themselves. High calories plus high palatability. Palatability just means like how tasty is the food and how much of it do you want to eat. High calories plus tasty food you want to eat a lot of, plus the U.S. government says eat up, is a very, very interesting recipe for more weight gain for Americans, potentially. So there's sort of good news on this a little bit later. And number two critique, the relegating whole grains down situation. Whole grain consumption correlates with, and almost certainly causes in part, massive health improvements in almost every group of well-controlled studies. And the volume of literature and the quality of literature of these studies is absolutely gargantuan. Like, this is like capital T true that whole grains are amazing for you. Whole grains are absolutely not more obesogenic than these. They do not cause people to gain excess body weight and body fat more than butter and cheese. And per calorie, they're better for health. So not only do you not overeat whole grains nearly as much, calorie per calorie, they're better for your health. Butter and cheese getting the nod over whole grains is backwards. And I hate to say it because butter and cheese are my two spirit foods. I have a third spirit food. Do you guys want to know what it is? We see when men get very excited, you know what I've done.
Oh, shit. Okay. Nice.
Yes, it is possible to overeat whole grains. But most of the other people overeating grains are just overeating like kids' cereal and white breads and not whole grains, while butter and cheese never get overeaten. Am I right? Ever. Why would you ever do that? Lastly, and this is a little bit of a bone, but I got to throw it in there. There seemingly is no mention of non-nutritive sweeteners. It says to avoid sweetened beverages, which is awesome, but fails to mention the non-nutritive sweeteners like sucralose, stevia, and a bunch of the other ones are absolutely great. Small issue, but an issue nonetheless.
That's because this whole thing was made by fucking crazy people. It wouldn't surprise me. Is there a thing where RFK says that these people think that, what is it, aspartame or whatever, or other things that they'll like all give you cancer. They're actually secretly worse for you than the actual sugar shit. I don't know. I don't know if that's like a widely held belief by the RFK types, you know, but I know at one point people were pushing this, like, oh, these diet drinks and the Coke Zeros and everything actually are even worse for you because y'all are giving you fucking super brain cancer and ball cancer.
Like sucralose, stevia, and a bunch of the other ones are absolutely great. Small issue, but an issue nonetheless. You want people drinking diet sodas. Diet sodas are amazing. They're so good. They're roughly as quote-unquote bad or good for you as water. But people like them and they taste great and they don't have to force you in a conundrum of I'm drinking water now instead of drinking Coke. If you have to choose between water and Coca-Cola Classic, realistically, a lot of Americans are just going to choose Coca-Cola because this is a country of having a good time. You want to choose water, go live in a Mongolian prison or some shit like that. But if you tell people you choose between Coca-Cola, which is not so great for you in high amounts, or Diet Coke, which is basically neutral for you, damn near close to water, then all of a sudden you don't have to choose between misery and starlight shining incredible feeling of Coca-Cola being guzzled down your throat. You can just have both with diet soda. I'd really wish there was a mention of that. That's my critical stuff. Let's move on to what's really good about it. This is not a complete list, but it's a long list because there's so much good about this pyramid. Number one, it promotes a protein core. That is amazing. Protein grows muscle. It supplies a steady stream of energy. It is anti-catabolic, which means it prevents muscle loss, especially in the era of weight loss drugs. This is a huge...
Be careful. Some sweeteners are really good. There are a few recently that showed increase in ROS at typical intake levels. The fuck is ROS? Retard of... I don't even know.
Deal. Unbelievable all-around gold star. Number two, it promotes veggies. Veggies are the healthiest pound-for-pound food that you can eat and suppress hunger the most. Veggies are goated. They have no equal. When the veggies enter the Colosseum, all the gladiators just scrimp right out because there's no point. When broccoli raises that sword, everyone kneels. Period. amazing that veggies are getting a huge front row seat. This pyramid also promotes minimally processed food. There are food processing methodologies that make foods even healthier. The thing that makes Greek yogurt go from full fat to no fat. The thing that gives you whey protein and casein protein powder. But a lot of processing is just designed for foods to have way more calories and way tastier and way less nutrients like fiber and vitamins. And so when it's Twinkies on the menu, yeah, man, processing sucks. For most people, the advice of more minimally processed food and less processed food is just really, really good advice. The other thing is this pyramid doesn't push like 900 grams of carbs onto people off the gate. Scott, you remember the 1992 original pyramid where the entire base was like, just looked like pieces of Cheerios or some shit? Like, how many bread slices and pasta spoonfuls am I going to have to eat to be a good person? And it's just kind of wacky. And so probably didn't have major effect on people, which I'll talk about in a sec, but it's good that we're not telling people to eat just like grains until the cows come home for no goddamn good reason. It promotes healthy fats, which is amazing. Healthy fats like nuts, nut butters, olive oil, canola oil, avocados, things like that are phenomenal. Very difficult to overeat in the context of any kind of diet. Super, super healthy for all your body systems. Awesome. And this pyramid promotes dairy, which is actually interesting. Something I didn't used to know, but high fat dairy, like whole milk, not processed dairies like cheeses and butters, high fat dairy like whole milk, whole Greek yogurt, whole cottage cheese is actually super, super healthy in a calorie balanced diet. So if you can get the calorie balance right, full fat dairy is actually really dope. And obviously lean dairy is really, really dope. And lastly, a really good thing about this pyramid is it warns against sweetened beverages and alcohol. If all Americans stopped drinking alcohol just for a year and stopped drinking all sugar-sweetened beverages, you would see massive, massive weight loss, massive health improvements. Not going to happen anytime soon probably, but it is what it is. So amazing. Now, if I had to tweak my own food pyramid, anoint myself to king of health of the United States, is that king of health on steroids? No, shut up. You're going to jail in Guatemala or something. How would I do it? I would change the design just a little bit. The top row, the most prominent row, because it's the upside-down version, would have lean proteins, almost mandatory on every plate. The middle row would have veggies and fruits. The number of people that have ever gotten too fat eating veggies and fruits, minimally processed, super fresh, is very, very low, possibly zero. The third row would have whole grains and healthy fats. These are higher calorie sources, spoon for spoon, and so they shouldn't be brought up to the front. But nonetheless, they're very good for you and can be eaten in moderation within the context of your calories. And then the bottom row, a point of the pyramid, I would throw in butter, cheese, chocolate.
You want to know what a radical food take would be? If you want to do some radically unpopular shit and just fucking go hard, would be fucking, would be banning potatoes. There are just so many better things that we as white people should probably eat as sides, and potatoes just replace everything because it really is just like the best fucking food ever. French fries are probably like Hiroshima to the American diet. There are just so many amazingly delicious potato things that just have zero fucking nutritional value whatsoever, and they just serve as vehicles to deliver more sodium and butter and sauces and just the worst types of everything into your body. If companies were forced to make like a side of, you know, some kind of, you can still keep your dips and shit, but at least if it was like broccoli or like, you can make vegetables tasty like a thing of asparagus instead of french fries that you're picking from, or literally anything besides french fries, anything besides just fucking potatoes. Even sweet potatoes would be better than potatoes, but god, there are so many potato based foods that are just, they're really good, but they're just so empty calories and just fatten you up.
And junk food. Notice big difference between my pyramid and the new pyramid is that butter and cheese are in my eat hardly ever situation if you're trying to be a super healthy person and you have trouble with your weight, while for theirs, butter and cheese are in the rank one. Big difference there. But both of us agree junk food is junk food and probably shouldn't be eaten. Now, second to last point for this video. Will this recent pyramid, or even my own version of the pyramid, if people are going to accept it, impact obesity rates?
Who looks to the food pyramid or whatever, the FDA guidelines for anything?
Guess is almost certainly not much, if at all. We know this because the old food guide pyramids had almost no measurable effect on obesity rates. How can that be? Did people actually follow the food pyramid? The short answer is absolutely not. Here's the slightly longer answer, though also pedantic. The idea that tens of millions of Americans suddenly became dutiful little nutrition monks because the USDA put a triangle on a pamphlet is optimistic, bordering on delusional. What actually happened?
Maybe school lunches might be based around it a little bit, maybe.
Behaviorally, with each one of these pyramids, especially that 1992 killer pyramid that's supposed to be the thing that caused the obesity epidemic, it didn't.
Isn't making veggies more tasty just making them as unhealthy as potatoes? I guess our potatoes, when not smothered in oil or butter, are supposed to be really good. Are they? I just don't think potatoes have very many nutrients in them, do they? What is like the average nutrients? I don't even know what I would look up. Nutrition value, empty baked potato. Lots of potassium, if you need potassium. If you're short on potassium, they got that for you. You have to eat the skin, though. They are supposed to be the most satiating carb per cal. That might be true if you take like a potato in its purest form, but that has absolutely nothing to do with the average potato consumption in the United States, because french fries are going to be some of your most, you're too focused on nutrition. They just fill you up and they're low calorie. No, fried french fries absolutely do not fill you the fuck up. It is super easy to destroy 1,000 calories of french fries without even fucking thinking about it. Maybe if you have like a baked potato or something else and you haven't loaded 50 trillion fucking things into it, but the average way that french fries, I think, the average ways that potato related things are prepared for Americans is not like a satiating, nutrient dense way at all. It's usually just super fried shit that is like super easily consumed instantaneously, very not nutritionally dense stuff.
Allegedly, who knows what happened is people read the shit and they're like, oh, I gotta eat 18 trillion pounds of grains and boom, I got fat.
I feel like you changed the conversation. Obviously, people aren't talking about french fries. What do you think I was talking about when I said we should ban potatoes? First of all, I'm joking. We shouldn't ban all potatoes. But do you think I'm saying it because I think too many people are eating whole baked potatoes without a ton of additives? Do you think that's what I'm talking about? Or am I talking about the fact that french fries are a staple fast food for every single fast food restaurant in the entire United States?
What actually happened was the following. People eat refined grains, not whole grains. They already misread the pyramid. Just kidding. They never read it. Just refined grains taste good. That's it. They added fats and sugars on top of higher carb diets. One of the big debates a few years back was the high carb recommendation hurting Americans and should we recommend low carbs? And people would say, has said that like, well, Americans are eating less fats and more carbs now because of the pyramid. We actually looked in the data. It looks like they just ate more fats and carbs. Americans never got the high carb menu. They never got good guy. Americans never got the high carb memo. They didn't get the high fat memo. They don't read memos, you guys. Portion sizes at the same time exploded. Ultra processed food availability skyrocketed. Price came down. The diversity was massive. Still is. Liquid calories, soda, and juice became normal daily intake during this time. So if someone says Americans ate too many grains because the pyramid told them to, you can fairly respond with something like Americans ate too much of everything because food got cheaper, tastier, larger, and omnipresent. And I'll add one thing. It's just supply and demand. People really like to eat super tasty, high-calorie food. And a lot of people just don't really give too much of a shit about what acutely happens to them in their daily lives. I know this sounds crazy, but it's politically incorrect and also true. The pyramid, the original 1992 version, never...
So maybe don't give disinfo that potatoes are unhealthy, and instead of saying potatoes are healthy, but how they are prepared is often unhealthy. Okay, well, maybe you should give more qualifications, because technically, there is no unhealthy way to prepare a potato. The unhealthy thing has to do with the consumption of the potato. And technically, it isn't unhealthy to even consume french fries. You would just have to moderate the amount that you consume. There's nothing unhealthy about eating 3 french fries with a meal. So actually, at the summer user, you're the fucking retard. Congratulations, all right?
Said drink 64 ounces of Coke. They never said supersize it. It didn't say eat Doritos between meals. It didn't say consume over 3,000 daily calories even though you never move. Yet here we are. Compliance matters more than advice. By a long shot, the most at-risk people for obesity, in fact, the people that should be heeding the advice of these pyramids the most, are predictably, as measured in the research literature, several things. They read the least nutrition guidance. They trust government advice the least. They have the least executive bandwidth to implement it, i.e. they have other priorities. And they often live in food environments, by choice, where pyramids are irrelevant abstractions and getting food that's really tasty and really convenient is absolutely number one on almost everyone else's mind. Meanwhile, the people who actually tend to read dietary guidelines and attempt to follow them are disproportionately more educated already. I already know most of the stuff. Higher socioeconomic standing. They're already healthier and have tons of really good health behaviors. They're way more conscientious and future-oriented, which means they actually organize their nutritional lives to give a shit about what happens to their health later. And they're just less likely to become obese regardless. This is one of these things where the pyramid is supposed to help the people that need the help the most, but the people that get the help are the ones that need the help the least and arguably just don't need it at all. And the people who do need the help, folks really prone to obesity, they don't read about pyramids, they don't give a shit, or they've heard about it once or twice and go, sweet, cheeseburger time. That's it. Blaming obesity on dietary guidelines assumes...
The thing is, potatoes are very healthy, and you thought they were bad. Not just french fries. Potatoes are not very healthy, okay? How many people are lacking potassium in their diet? Shut the fuck up, all right? There are a billion better things to eat than fucking potatoes, okay? Eat shit, you Irish fucker. You should be sleeping right now so that you can wake up and go to your miserable fuck corporate job where you're stealing taxes from the rest of the world because of your dumbass fucking abusive laws, okay? For you to harbor corporations and shelter them from everybody. I hate you. I hope the British come in and they take more of your potatoes and they ship them off to the rest of the world while you guys are hungry.
High compliance among the least compliant group. That's backwards. My best guess. Folks will ignore this pyramid within a week. Scott, prediction?
Yeah, for sure.
And continue to eat mostly based on how they feel. Guys, that's how most normal people eat. Just whatever they feel like, with some slight maybe guilt trip about maybe eating a vegetable. Around the late 20-teens, I was saying very much on social media and whoever the hell would listen to me, mostly people that wish I'd shut up, as usual. I was saying very often that the only real solution to obesity is not another pyramid, not more education. I think it's just going to be about drugs and gene editing. The Ozempic revolution based. Started to prove that the drugs
thing... Oh, there's another thing Mike does. Is he over-indexes a ton, or maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? On like future health technology things.
It was probably on point. Gene editing eventually, I think, will prove to be completely correct if I'm being an egotistical asshole, which is my real state of affairs, by the way. So I think that's still a thing. And I think that the pyramid is just going to be like a no one asked, no one answered type of thing. legit. It sucks. I wish we could just tell people what to do with a wise and omniscient government, but that is not reality. I will leave you with something a little bit more positive and substantially more useful. I have three rules. They can replace the entire pyramid. Tell your
family. Number one, no potatoes.
Family and friends about these three rules. Rule one, eat a core of lean protein at every meal. Rule two is overall calories kept to keep you on track for a healthy weight. If you're overweight, that means less calories to lose weight. If you're normal weight, that means normal calories. If you're underweight, eat more. And lastly, number three is fill in the non-lean protein calories, because you have lean protein taking up some of the calories and you have a bunch of calories left over. Fill those in with any combo you like of veggies, fruits, whole grains, and healthy fats that are ideally minimally processed. And if you're struggling with weight, fill them in that order. So if you're struggling with your weight, way, way more veggies, fewer fruits, sparingly whole grains, and not a ton of healthy fats. If you're really struggling with keeping weight on your body, you can't gain enough weight, the doctors say that you're too skinny, etc., you need to start with healthy fats and whole grains, eat as many fruits as you can, and veggies are kind of sprinkled in to see if you're not super full yet. So it's taking the pyramid and turning it upside down. But as long as you're getting lean protein, and then all of your meals have the calories remaining from some combination of veggies, fruits, whole grains, and healthy fats, probably in that order, you are going to have a real goddamn good time at your nutrition. And it really only needs to be that simple. Healthy fats versus whole grains is not a combat Godzilla versus Mothra show we ever need to see, because they're both totally awesome. Fruits and veggies are both totally awesome. We don't need that fight. We do know that butter and cheese are on the sidelines of that fight because they're arguably the enemy and not the main show. I hate talking shit about butter and cheese because, for the soul, Scott, if I gave you a buttery cheese sandwich, could I even make you happier after that?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Like a nice buttery grilled cheese. Come on.
Now, what if my hands were still covered with cheese, fat, and butter? Could I make you happier after that in any other way?
For sure.
My word. What kind of channel are we running here, folks? If you are serious about tracking your food and calories meal by meal for your best results, there are many amazing nutrition apps out there.
Get ground diet news.
My personal favorite, one I helped craft and use daily for every single meal, is the RP Diet Coach app. It's here to help. There are links in descriptions. Go click on things. And
oh my God.
Why don't you download yourself a picture of RFK Jr.? Here's your homework. Just stare at it. That's what a real man looks like. I'll see you guys next time.
Okay, good job.